look at Biden's energy policy. Look at where the U.S., look at where the U.K. is, look at where Europe is. It didn't have to come to this. The first thing Biden did, he got rid of the Keystone Pipeline, and then they pushed this war. And they really did push this war onto Russia. Russia felt like its back was against the wall. So they pushed this war, and they come out with these shock and awe sanctions, which at the end of the day, all it does is it damages the economies of the European Union and the United States. That's all they've done, period. They haven't gotten regime change in Russia. They haven't destroyed the Putin economy. They haven't weakened the ruble. They haven't stopped Russia from exporting its gas and its oil and its commodities and its fertilizers and its wheat and all of these things. They haven't accomplished any of that. Don't you remember Biden during his State of the Union address? What was it, like 2 months ago, where he said, we're going to turn the ruble into rubble? Where's the ruble today?
Right. All right, welcome, folks. Mike Adams here for this hour, the third hour of the Alex Jones Show today. We've got a fantastic guest coming up for you. But just real quick to follow up of what Owen just said there. I mean, yeah, things are getting pretty insane, but I've got a solution for all of this. It's so simple. ANZ Bank out of Australia and New Zealand, they just announced 6 weeks of paid leave, basically a vacation if you are a transgender. And since there's no proof required to be transgender, it's simply a self-affirmation, then apparently anybody can apply for 6 weeks of paid vacation by simply stating that you're transgender. But if the bank manager there or your boss at that bank says, well, we don't believe you, you don't look transgender, I've got the perfect solution for you. You can say, let's say you're a man, like I am here. You walk up to your boss, you say, hey, I'm a transgender. I need 6 weeks paid vacation. Says, what do you mean? So, well, look, I'm a man who self-identifies as a woman, but that woman self-identifies as a man. And so here I am, and I get double transgender leave. I get 12 weeks of paid leave. Thank you so much, ANZ Bank. See, that's, folks, you got to learn to play their game. Since it's all fairy tales and delusions, anybody can make it up. You can be trans anything, and I guess you can take advantage of the trans reparations that are now becoming commonplace around the world. But remember, it's all about inclusiveness. So make sure you're included by being double trans, and you don't even have to dye your hair purple or get, you know, weird body art or anything. What? Just be yourself and get 12 weeks off. Okay. Anyway, that's my take on that. Enough joking around. Now we've got some serious topics coming up. We've got a great guest for you, Alex Christoforou. He reports every day about the situation in Russia and Ukraine, but he's located in Greece. And I got to say, I've been watching him for a couple of months now, and he's got the best analysis that I have seen out there. I mean, it blows away mainstream media, blows away Fox News, in my opinion, blows away CNN, MSNBC, all that stuff. He's intelligent. He's funny. He's really tied into what's going on. And this is the first time we've had him on the show. I was scheduled to interview him later this week myself, but I reached out to him. He agreed to come on today. So, Alex, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Thank you very much, Mike. It is great to be on. I am honored to be on your program. Thank you very, very much.
Well, thank you for joining us. And since this is your first time here on the InfoWars show, I just want to give out your URL. I think it's theduran.locals.com. Is that the primary place people can reach you?
That okay, is correct. Right. That's where we put all our content, theduran.locals.com.
Okay, great. The Duran. All right, now, here's the thing. You are doing extraordinary work. I mean, it's not just a podcast. I know you're filming yourself walking around these amazing areas. Well, sometimes not so amazing. Sometimes they're just like dirt parks. Other times they're beautiful parks. Other times you're dodging traffic in Greece, almost getting run over. But you're walking around areas, even I think Cyprus one time, you're walking around, but you're doing analysis during this. Give people an overview of kind of who you are, what you're doing, and why. Why are you doing this? Why are you in Greece talking about Ukraine?
Well, I'm of Greek Cypriot origin, though I was raised in the United States. I spent much of my life in the U.S., so I have a love for America. I have a love for American politics. and have a love for geopolitics and the politics that's happening around the world and how countries strategize and how they develop their foreign policy. And I met up with Alexander Mercuris, who is also very much from the background of diplomacy and law, and just has a passion for geopolitics. He's based out of London. He's also of Greek origin. And we created the media channel, The Duran. And we started with one channel, which was just basically me and Alexander talking about geopolitics. So we covered a lot of the election in 2016, and we covered a lot of what was going on with Trump and all the palace intrigue in and around Trump, Russiagate, Ukrainegate, all of that stuff that happened, which actually kind of led us to where we are today with Ukraine and Russia, and all the things that were going on to remove Trump are very much connected to where we are today. And then Alexander broke off. Well, we're still doing the channel together, but then we decided to do another channel with just Alexander and his geopolitical analysis. Alexander Mercuris, you can find him on all the platforms. And then I went off and did my channel with my analysis as well. So we basically have three channels in our media operation.
But what's extraordinary, and you know, I apologize if I'm just gushing too much here, but you know, I mean I'm the founder of Brighteon, and so I'm viewing, you know, thousands of different channels over time and looking for people who are talented and people who have really good analysis and just noticing who's doing what. And I got to say, you are at the very top of your game. You're doing amazing analysis. You are outperforming mainstream media. You're pointing out the contradictions in the policies of Western thought leaders, and you even introduce us to new characters like Ursula von der Crazy, who is a superstar of incoherent thought, by the way. And it's, you know, you're really nailing it, and you're uncensored, but you're not mean. You're funny. I mean, you have a sense of humor, but it's also brilliant at the same time. Very unusual combination. So, you know, kudos to you.
Well, thank you, Mike. But to be quite honest, the decision that our leaders are making, these decisions that they're making before the war, during the war, and what's going to happen after the war, the decisions that they're making are funny, tragic. You know, as a Greek, it's very tragic. But in tragedy, there is humor. And the decisions that we see coming out of the Biden White House, coming out of the European Union, it leaves us all scratching our head. And then when you see the decisions being made by the Russians and how they are going about things, they're very pragmatic and they're very realistic and very measured. And you just kind of sit there and say, what is going on? Has the world turned upside down from where we were, say, in the 80s and 90s? Has everything flipped? And I just have a lot of material to work with regards to the comedy of what's going on in the West.
Well, and let's get right into some of that, because one of the things that you have pointed out, and I love the fact that you tend to record in the mornings in Greece. And so by the time I wake up, often your video, I can watch it that day. And I've got like that morning's update from Greece, from your perspective of what's happening in Ukraine and Russia. So the timing is great, the fact that you're there. But one of the key issues or themes that you've really uncovered is the fact that the West, especially Ukraine, is fighting an information war, whereas Russia is fighting a kinetic war. And, you know, it's kind of like Russia's artillery versus Ukraine's bull bleepery. I'm a self-bleeping InfoWars host, so I'm not going to say the word. But, you know, artillery versus that, you know, artillery explodes. Like, artillery is another way to communicate. And when you fire artillery and it blows up, it's kind of like saying leave or die, right? Like leave this area or perish. But Ukraine is just using all this information warfare to claim, oh, you know, 50 Russian generals were killed last night. And you're like, where? But what are your thoughts? Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you. But, you know, it's really interesting, because when you look at how The Zelensky regime is approaching this this conflict, and obviously, I think we all understand that that Zelensky is not really calling the shots. He's being puppeted by various forces in Europe and in the White House, various neocon forces. Many of these forces, once again, were the forces behind what we saw happening in Russiagate and Ukrainegate and all of these things that I'm sure you and the viewers are well aware of. But you know, you look at everything that they're doing, and it does kind of remind you as to how the Biden White House operates. Everything is about optics. Everything's PR and everything is spin. And there's no real substance to what's going on, the decisions that they're making. There's no real purpose or goal. It's just pretty much a 24-hour news cycle. So you have the Ghost of Kiev, which I believe Adam Kinzinger actually retweeted. What are you doing, Kinzinger? You actually retweeted that. You have the fight for Snake Island. You have the siege of Kiev, the siege of Kharkov, the counteroffensive in Kherson.
All right, Alex, we got to go to break. Sorry to cut you off there, but you're exactly right. Those are great examples of total delusional fantasy that's been exposed as fantasy. We'll be back with Alex Christopherou right after this break. Stay with us on the InfoWars broadcast.
So I was saying in the previous segment where before the commercial break, where we have all these types of fictitious narratives being spun by the Biden White House and the European Union, and they're the ones that are they're coaching Zelensky, they're puppeteering Zelensky, and what we have on the Russian side of things is the Russians just going about their business. They're fighting. Well, they don't even call it a war, to be quite honest. They continue to call it a special military operation. Now they have not declared war. They have not categorized it as a war. And they continue to go about their business in a very methodical, very calculated way. And the way the Russians are going about what's happening in Ukraine is they are fighting the Ukraine military. They're not fighting the Ukraine people. They're not even so much interested in actually making big territorial gains for now. Their goal is very much along the lines of a Clausewitz type of warfare, where it's fighting the military. First, you destroy the opponent's military, and then you accomplish your political goals. And that's how they're going about this war. And it's very different. We haven't seen something like this in the last, I don't even know, maybe the last 50 years. We haven't seen a war being fought like this with the artillery, yeah, Alex, and the grinding down of the opponents.
Thank you for jumping in there. If any guest can take over the segment, it's you. Let me tell you, I blipped out on my side there, but I'm back. But thanks for taking over. And see, that's the whole thing I was talking about. You could just jump in with the analysis of what's going on. But one of the things I wanted to ask you in this segment, and you talked about this morning in your podcast, was that there might be some possible ceasefire negotiation on the table. Although I think Russia says it's just for show. What's your take? Is that a serious thing? Could we see a ceasefire or not? Are we way past that?
Look, I believe I don't want to say we're way past that. I don't know. I don't have any information that'll let me into the minds of the Kremlin. But in my opinion, I believe that the Putin government, they're always going to keep the door open. And they're always going to keep the door open for diplomacy, because for them, fighting this war is also about diplomacy. I mentioned how Clausewitz military theory plays out for the Russians, and they follow that military theory very closely. And Clausewitz said that, you know, you fight a war for political means. They go hand in hand. And so I think the Russians will always engage in dialogue with Ukraine. But the problem for the Russians is that who are they speaking to on the other end? Can Zelensky call the shots? Can he make decisions? Are they willing to compromise and to meet the Russians towards their demands? The Russians don't trust Zelensky anymore. They don't trust the West anymore, because all they've seen for the past 8 years are lies from the West. And what they asked for before the war broke out, before the special military operation was launched, they asked for some very simple things. for Ukraine to be neutral and for the Minsk Accords to be implemented. That's it. But, you know, the West never did it. And we got to remember, Germany and France, they signed the Minsk Accords 8 years ago. So they were obligated to push Ukraine to implement that that agreement. It never happened. So I think trust is gone, but the door is always open.
Well, Alex, I think what you're talking about is just a small example of a much larger problem involving the downfall of reason and rationality among Western civilization. So, for example, when we here in America, when we try to interact with the federal government on anything, regulation, taxes, immigration, anything, it's like talking to insane people. There's no rational response. I mean, did you know the IRS here in the States, by the way, has entire floors of tax or IRS buildings, entire floors stacked with unopened mail from 2 to 3 years ago? They haven't sent out tax refunds to some people for 2 years, and they're paying hundreds of billions of dollars in penalties against the government on interest that they owe to people on their tax refunds. So, you know, I'm not surprised that Putin can't really talk to the West, because we can't either, and we live here. That's what's shocking about the situation.
Look at Biden's energy policy. Look at where the U.S., look at where the U.K. is, look at where Europe is. It didn't have to come to this. The first thing Biden did, he got rid of the Keystone Pipeline, and then they pushed this war. And they really did push this war onto Russia. Russia felt like its back was against the wall. So they pushed this war, and they come out with these shock and awe sanctions, which at the end of the day, all it does is it damages the economies of the European Union and the United States. That's all they've done, period. They haven't gotten regime change in Russia. They haven't destroyed the Putin economy. They haven't weakened the ruble. They haven't stopped Russia from exporting its gas and its oil and its commodities and its fertilizers and its wheat and all of these things. They haven't accomplished any of that. So don't you remember Biden during his State of the Union address? What was it, like 2 months ago, where he said, we're going to turn the ruble into rubble? Where's the ruble today?
Right.
Stronger than ever.
Record highs versus the dollar, yeah. But you see, it's the same deception. I mean, it's like when people go to the grocery store and they're paying 50% more for food, or they go to the gas pump and they're paying now very nearly $5 a gallon for gas on average, which is the highest all time. And it's probably going to $10 a gallon later this year. All we get from the administration is the same kind of lies that Zelensky pushes in Ukraine. You know, you get these absurd explanations like, if food is more scarce, maybe it's Joe Biden's miraculous American weight loss plan and we'll save money on healthcare costs or something. It's like, what? I mean, people are trying to eat and then they blame Putin for everything. Remember inflation, for example. Last year, they said there's no inflation. Then they said it's transitory inflation. Then they said it's Putin's inflation. And then a few days ago, the New York Times says inflation, it's good. Like, well, I thought you said there was no. You're not dealing with rational actors. This is the problem.
I completely agree with you. It didn't have to come to this. It really did not have to come to this. But there are forces at work that are making the decisions for the Biden White House, and they are the same forces that are making the decisions in Ukraine and for Zelensky. And these are going to be the same forces that are going to push us to another conflict. China, perhaps.
Well, let's talk about that conflict after this break that's coming right up here. And I really appreciate you and your analysis. It's Alex Christofaru, everybody, at theduran.locals.com. We'll be right back after this break to talk about China and possibly a two-front war for America.
The internet and talk radio are on fire with the slogan, Alex Jones was right. And people ask, what's it like to be vindicated? Well, it's actually a very sick feeling, because I knew this was coming. I tried to stop it. And now everything I've talked about is going to become more important than ever, because the globalists aren't hiding it anymore in policy reports and documents. It's now out in the open. Klaus Schwab said last week that they rule the earth. The Bilderberg Group founded Davos Group. So now the fight's out in the open. They're making their move because they know they're behind schedule. We're going to win this thing. God's watching. The children are counting on us. I just want to thank the viewers and listeners for your word of mouth and your prayer and your financial support, because without you, InfoWars would not be here. So I want you to really internalize the fact that you are the InfoWar, and you are the reason humanity has a fighting chance. So I want to thank you and salute you again for all you've done, and ask you now to redouble your efforts.
All right, welcome back, folks. Mike Adams here. We're continuing with our guest, Alex Christofaru, who is reporting from Greece on a daily basis, doing outstanding analysis. Just a couple of quick comments, and then we're going to go right back to you, Alex. I just want to mention two important things. Number one, for those listening from the state of Texas, and I don't mean just the people, but also the government of Texas, I've got to urge you to prepare for the dollar collapse, the total collapse of the fiat currency, the dollar. But states like Texas, by launching their own state currencies, or in our case, gold-backed currency, Texas can weather the storm and do extremely well as the United States of America dissociates, falls apart. I believe that's coming. And in fact, I'm going to ask Alex his thoughts on sort of where all this is headed as well. Secondly, and you know, this is not a paid plug or anything, but I just got this today from Ghost Gunner. This is this block of aluminum that you can turn into an AR-15 lower receiver. And I'm super thrilled because I've owned all the Ghost Gunners over the years, like the Ghost Gunner 2 and the 3. And I've been waiting for this block of aluminum for months. And, you know, this can be turned into basically a rifle. And I'm going to do that process. And I wonder if Washington is going to try to ban aluminum blocks because, of, you know, they try to ban Russia from doing anything economically. Will they ban aluminum from America and watch the economy collapse in their efforts to try to take away the ability for people to manufacture their own firearms for self-defense? So that'll be interesting. But you can also make lower receivers out of other things beyond aluminum. So I'm kind of wondering, and this is my first question to you, Alex, do you think the U.S. will try to ban the entire table of elements, like no copper, no aluminum, nothing from the table of elements, because it might be used to make a weapon? Are we going to get that insane?
I would not be surprised. I really would not. I would say, no, we're not going to get that insane. But you know what? Every day they shock me. But you make an interesting point. You see the moves of the Biden White House and what they've done. For example, confiscating the assets of Russian oligarchs. Like, other countries don't have oligarchs. Every country has their billionaires and their oligarchs. That's fine. We accept that. But, you know, they use this term, you know, confiscating the wealth of Russian oligarchs. But, you know, it is theft. I'm not saying these guys are good or bad. It's not. I'm not there to judge. But you just can't take people's property. And I sit there and I wonder, okay, so now you're taking Abramovich's his yachts and his planes, and you're confiscating that stuff, or you're confiscating the foreign reserves of a country, a G20 country. What they did to Russia, unheard of. Unheard of, to confiscate the foreign reserves of a G20 country. You're doing these things. When are you going to come after me? You know.
Well, but I think also doesn't it make you think? Your government there, the government of Greece, also under pressure from the U.S. I think it was last week they rolled up onto Iranian oil tankers and just open seas piracy, just started stealing all the oil. It's like, is this our world now where should? Yeah, I mean, maybe the American flag should be replaced with like the skull and crossbones, like the pirates of the high seas flag. We're just going to steal all your stuff if we can find it. Is that what it's come to?
Is that his way to find oil now? I mean, he's going to Saudi Arabia. He was supposed to go to Saudi Arabia. I don't know anymore. He's going to Venezuela. He's going to Iran. By the way, the Iranians, after that ship was confiscated by Greece, they confiscated two Greek ships in retaliation.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, is this what we're coming to?
Well, I mean, if Joe Biden put on an eye patch and a funny hat and started going, hardy har, I mean, no one would be surprised. It was like, oh, that's just Biden.
I agree.
You know, he's just doing his pirate motif right there. Because it's all theater. You know, they had a hologram of the Queen of England in a royal carriage being dragged through the streets of London with, I mean, it was an actual hologram in the carriage. That was just a few days ago. People were waving at the hologram. And I'm just thinking, wow, the Queen in a carriage being dragged through the streets of London. She's the only actual drag queen who's a queen. I mean, and a hologram nonetheless. I mean, this is how insane our world has become. But I don't see any end to this. Absolutely. Yeah, they're showing the video right now. It's a hologram of the queen waving. And, you know, I'm just thinking, hey, if you have a hologram, have her do something more interesting in that carriage, you know? She could be dancing or something in there, doing backflips, you know, twerking. Who knows? I mean, use your imagination. Why just have her wave? But where do you think all this is going, Alex?
Well, you know, I think you've pretty much summed it up. Nothing is real anymore, it seems. Nothing is real. It's all become some type of a fictitious Truman Show movie is what it reminds me of. There's no reality anymore, but there is going to be some reality that's going to be hitting the West very, very soon, including the country where I am. And that's going to be the fuel hikes, the gas hikes, the inflation, the food, the increase in prices for food, energy shortages. People are going to have to sit down and they're going to say, what do I do? Do I pay my energy bill? Do I fill up my car? Or do I buy a loaf of bread? I mean, this is going to be real stuff that's going to hit us, and it's going to come fast, and it's going to really, really hurt. And it's going to be historic because I don't think we've ever experienced these things. I mean, I know it's coming to Europe. I mean, it's almost already here. You have the UK saying that they have shortages of sunflower oil and this and that. You had the United States, you had baby formula shortages. I mean, you know, we're sitting here in Greece and we're thinking, how does the U.S. have shortages of baby formula? This is like we're stunned, but we're just at the beginning of this. And this is going to be reality. This is where reality crashes into fantasy.
Well, not only are we unable to feed our babies in America, apparently, with this processed infant formula, which is something, by the way, that even the most low-tech, isolated jungle tribe that you could find, you know, by hiking through wet terrain and the marshes, and you might find a tribe, they could feed their babies. But we can't feed our babies in the most advanced, supposedly, nation in the world. It's extraordinary. But here's my question to you on this. You know, what about the local people that you talk to there in Greece? Is there any kind of local realization of how bad it's going to be this coming winter when, you know, the energy shortages become a life and death issue? You know, what are people saying there locally?
Oh, they're furious. They're furious with the government, and the polling is showing it. You have the latest poll I saw was around 70-75% of the Greeks are very much opposed to the government and its policy towards Russia, specifically the sanctions. I mean, you know, we got the war, the special military operation, whatever you want to call it, the invasion, whatever you want to call it is one thing. The sanctions, people are scratching in their heads and they're saying, after 2 years of lockdowns, this is what you guys come up with at the European Union, sanctioning Russia, who supplies all the wheat, all the fertilizer, all the gas, all the oil, all the metals, every single commodity that we use to live our life, you're going to sanction them. It is, I mean, shoot yourself in both feet and then just take a gun and just boom. I mean, it's people are furious with it. They're furious with our government, and they want the government to reverse course.
That's great to hear. And I would think it's perhaps even worse in Germany because, you know, Germany needs a lot more heating energy in the winter. Germany, you know, has a huge industrial base that needs all the power derived from fossil fuels for the most part. I know Germany has solar panels and so on, but that's only a small percentage of the power that's needed. And this, you know, this climate cult that took over Western Europe and the United States and Canada over the last 10 years or so, the climate cult has said, well, you know, all fossil fuels are bad. We're going to shut them down. And then good luck finding a replacement. I mean, they never had a transition plan. But Russia is more realistic. I mean, Russia probably working on free energy tech that they're going to roll out. They're going to go right from fossil fuels to free energy and not even worry about wind turbines. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Russia's, you know, the Russians are very pragmatic. They're a realist society. And yeah, they're going to have their gas. They're going to have their oil. They're going to have their nuclear. People forget that the Russians, you know, they do nuclear. They build a lot of nuclear reactors. They're building one in Turkey right now. So, I mean, they're going to be OK. India's going to be OK. China's going to be OK.
Well, and Turkey, by the way, we're going to go to break again. But when we come back, I want to ask you about Turkey and Erdogan, who has been a brilliant diplomat. And to any of you listening in Turkey, we want to swap presidents with you. Please, you can have Biden. We want Erdogan here in America because he actually knows what he's doing. We'll be right back on the Alex Jones Show. Stay with us. Well, thank God for InfoWars. Thank God for the perseverance of people like Alex Jones and Owen Schroyer and Harrison and many others who are enduring this incredible lawfare attempt to try to silence them and take them offline. And yet, so far, those attempts have failed. And it's only made InfoWars stronger and more resilient because, see, I believe a day is coming in the not too distant future when America breaks apart. I think we're going to see secession. We're going to see probably new region states like maybe Texas or a greater Texas and other regions. We're going to see probably part of California break away from the West Coast. This is all coming, and there's going to be a whole new infrastructure of media. And that media will include some projects that, you know, Trump's team is working on. But also, I think InfoWars is the spearhead of that. Of course, you know, I'm doing my part to try to have platforms actually doing very well with that. In fact, Alex is scheduled, Alex Christofaru here, our guest right now, I'm scheduled to interview him again later this week for a Brighteon interview. So we're going to be doing that. And, you know, InfoWars episodes are also on our platform. We're all just working for liberty to try to save America or even perhaps to save what's left of America. But thank God for InfoWars. Support InfoWarsStore.com. And remember, whatever you purchase today is at probably the lowest price you're ever going to see because of inflation. Everything is going up. We're just talking to our suppliers, I think last night, getting emails from them. And yep, 20% increase here, 27% there. And then other suppliers are like, oh, yeah, that big order you placed, we don't have any of that anymore. All that food's gone. So Alex, bringing you back in, and thank you for joining me again today. Your website is theduran.locals.com. At least that's where people can find you. It's Alex Christofaru from Greece. But Alex, I got to say, I don't know if you keep in touch with, you know, family or friends in America, but here in Texas, we are seeing massive inflation, and we know this is the result of the deplatforming of Russia, money printing, but also the fact that then Russia cannot contribute to the exports of the world in terms of fertilizer and grain and commodities and so on. So everything is going up. We are getting punished. And Putin is raking in the dough with record revenues. It's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it's I couldn't have summed it up better myself. I mean, you had the lockdowns. You had an economy that was going to return. The U.S. economy was going to roar back after the lockdowns. It was going to be fine. If Biden just did one thing, that was nothing. He didn't have to do anything. But instead, they had to pump all those trillions into the economy because they thought they're going to supercharge things. And who would have thought that if you pump trillions into the economy, you're going to overheat things and get inflation? Who would have thought that? I mean, and then you have these sanctions against Russia. Yeah.
Yeah, but what's incredible is, you know, I mean, I did a piece today about how the experts, the so-called experts, are wrong about almost everything, especially about monetary theory or MMT, as it's called. I know you've covered that before, but they believe they can print endless money with no ill effects whatsoever. But, you know, this is not just, I mean, you and I joke about it, Alex, because you have a great sense of humor, and I try to joke around too. But this is not really a joking matter in the sense that this is the end coming. I mean, if we don't change course, how does Western civilization function? Because it's an empire of debt and lies. And when that empire implodes, is there anything left to salvage? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I laugh, but, you know, I want to cry because it is sad to watch all of these things crumble in front of our eyes. But, you know, I do believe that when all is said and done, the United States will find their way back. Europe, I'm not so sure about, but the U.S. is resilient. It has the natural resources. It just has to stop all of these foreign adventures and has to focus on America. If they focus on America, and America first. Trump said it best. If they just implement the America first policy, then the United States will find their way back. But if they continue to go down this route of trying to destroy the Constitution, trying to supercharge this green ideology and this deindustrialization, which they're implementing on Germany now, then you're looking at a disaster. But I just hope it's not too late. Europe, I'm not so confident about. But I think the U.S. has the political system and it has leaders who are in place that can turn the ship around. It's not going to be easy, but I think it can happen.
Well, you make some really good points there. I agree with you that the resilience of the American spirit is alive and well. And I guess one of the questions, though, is will there ever be fair and free elections again? Because we still haven't, you know, eliminated the rigged voting, the ballot stuffing, problems with some of the machines and so on. And we only have to look at another country, Venezuela, to see a nation that had plenty of resources, lots of oil, lots of minerals, lots of ability to produce food. And yet, because of the corruption and the tyranny, Venezuela has all but collapsed over the last decade or so. So, I mean, you're right, Alex. Nations have to make a choice. The thing is, you know, America made a choice in 2020. We chose Trump. We didn't choose Biden, but it was stolen from us. So, and I know in Greece, by the way, in the history of Greece, you know, Greece has gone through the same thing, actually still struggling in many ways, you know, economic collapse, political corruption, just perhaps even worse than what we've seen in America, if that's even possible. But nations have to choose to survive or they do not make it. Your comments on that?
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. What happened in 2020 and even before 2020, to me, Russiagate was the real tragedy. What happened there took the United States down a very dangerous path. And Americans are just going to have to find a way to reverse course. And it's not going to be easy. But the American system, the Constitution, I believe is built in a way that will safeguard the United States and the future of its people. And it's that Constitution that America has to kneel on. That is the document that's going to see the country through this hard time. But what worries me are the forces that are trying to tear apart the Constitution. That's what really worries me, because it's going to be that document that is going to get the U.S. out of this mess. Europe doesn't have this document. We don't have this thing. The U.S. has it, but you can't go about wanting to destroy it, because if you destroy the Constitution, then you have nothing. So I think the U.S. will make it through. Yeah.
Lawmakers on the left in America, of course, are trying to systematically destroy the Constitution. But I agree with you. As long as we honor it, that structure will save us. We have the Second Amendment, the First Amendment, the entire Bill of Rights. And of course, we have the Supreme Court with us as well. But talk to us about China, the possibility of a war with China, maybe starting with a financial war or even a cyber war. How do you think the United States might be threatened by China in the near future?
Well, I think that the Biden White House is looking for a way out of Ukraine. I think they want an off-ramp. I think they want a distraction. They want to memory hole Ukraine because it's been one big, huge foreign policy mess for the Biden White House. And I think there are some people in the Biden White House, Blinken and Sullivan and these guys, that actually believe a good distraction and a possible win could come from poking at China. And I think they actually believe that. So, you know, we had sanctions against Chinese officials 6 months ago. And to me, that's the first sign that we're heading towards the sanctions escalator. And when you get to the top of the sanctions escalator, you come to one conclusion, which is conflict.
So you think that the United States might try to provoke a conflict with China is what I hear you saying. Is that right?
I believe there are people in the White House who honestly believe that they could win a conflict with China in order to make up for the big L that they're taking with Russia and Ukraine. And it is a big L.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, beware of of initiating a land war with Russia, and also beware of a sea and air and cyber war with China, I would say, or a space war with China. I mean, you keep poking the hornet's nest, you're going to get stung by these countries. And the U.S. military is not nearly as advanced as it used to be relative to these other nations like China, which has enormous economic might. Perhaps America should learn to negotiate and coexist. What an idea, huh?
Midterms. Midterm elections are coming, and once again, I think the U.S. can change course.
Okay. All right. Well, Alex, I want to thank you for your thoughts and for joining us today. It's Alex Christofaru at theduran.locals.com. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for watching today on Infowars.com, the Alex Jones Show. Thank you for all your support of Infowarsstore.com. And everybody pray for America, because everything is at stake. God bless you. Take care.
And I've been so busy that I have not had time to cut an ad for it, but I'll just tell you about that. Everybody needs powerful films on their shelf as a DVD, to have it in HD, to be able to get it out to people, be able to share it with people. We bought 20,000 of Dinesh D'Souza's new film, 2,000 Mules. A lot of you already seen it online, but it's very important to have the hard copy in your possession. And so the film is available at InfoWarsStore.com, ready to ship out to you. Now, we've also had this film in for 2 weeks. It's a five-part series. It's an incredible piece of history, but I've been so busy I haven't cut an ad for that either. And that is COVID Land Part 3, that really integrates all of what happened under the previous lockdowns and the mask and the lies and what's coming next. You can get them discounted at 30% off when you get the two films together at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics. Let me say it again.
The 2020 election was the most secure
election in American history.
Let me begin by asking a very simple question. Do we know the truth about what really happened in the 2020 election?
I think millions of Americans know something went wrong, and they have little pieces, and no one's really put it together.
I'm agnostic on this question, and I am awaiting more information.
If I believed the president were a Nazi, I might steal an election.
Bold accusations require bold evidence, and they haven't seen it.
We have been working on something big.
Show me the money.
Can we meet? I've been working with Greg Phillips. He has a deep background in election intelligence.
True the Vote has the largest store of election intelligence for the 2020 elections in the world. No one has more data than we do. We identified in Atlanta 242 mules that went to an average of 24 drop boxes. But Philadelphia alone, we've identified more than 1,100 mules.
What is a mule?
Person picking up ballots and running them to the drop boxes.
This is not grandma out walking her dog. Bad backgrounds, bad reputations. They are interested in one thing, that's money.
And in no shape, in no way, in no time, is that legal.
This is organized crime.
Do you have video evidence?
4 million minutes of surveillance video around the country.
What you're about to see is disturbing.
So this is 1 o'clock in the morning.
Don't we all vote at 1 o'clock in the morning?
On one night, this person, this mule, went across six counties to 27 different drop boxes.
I call it the Mexican Mafia, seriously, because they work like that.
This is jaw-dropping.
What you showed is frightening.
It's just sickening to me.
Now we come to the most important question of all. Was the magnitude of vote trafficking enough to tip the balance in the 2020 presidential election?
It's not a leap to say this would have made a difference.
They have ruined Election Day in the United States of America. That's provable. And that's enough for me to fight the left with every fiber in my body.
Without free and fair elections, we are not a democracy. We are a criminal cartel masquerading as a democracy.